All right. Well, welcome everybody once again. It's always great to be here with you. I know I say that a lot, but I really do mean it. I do. So we get started today. I just want to ask you a question. Have you ever really imagined hunting for and finding a hidden treasure? Have you ever thought about that? What it would be like to just go out and stumble upon this massive treasure? Wouldn't that be exciting? Right? Wouldn't it be fun to just find something so amazing like that? And nobody else knows about it. Nobody else can lay claim to it. It can be all yours. What an awesome thing it would be. Thrilling to think about finding some valuable treasure like that. Especially if you happen upon by accident or you have the right clues that just guide you right to it. I think you can get a sense about how thrilling people find treasure hunting when you consider the growth of a modern-day version of treasure hunting in our culture. In the year 2000, a man named Dave Ulmer was wanting to test the accuracy of GPS signals that we all receive on our phones and our devices today. So he hid some items, gave the GPS coordinates to some friends, and the next thing you know, we have this whole worldwide phenomenon called geocaching going on. Now, 15 years later, they estimate there's some 1.4 million geocaches hidden all over the world. And there are more than 4 million people engaged in finding them. According to the app on my own phone, there are 40 hidden treasures within 2 miles of where we're standing right now. Right? And all it takes is having a GPS and the right clues to go find them. Wouldn't that be fun? See, yeah, it's fun to go out and exciting to think about there's some hidden treasure out there that you can go find if only you have the right clues. Jesus knew this. He knew how thrilling this would be. And he connected that thrill with finding the most important treasure in the world. He told a parable, to connect or to build connections between real life things we experience and spiritual realities. So if you would open up your Bibles for me to Matthew 13. You can read this parable that he shared about treasure hunting. Matthew chapter 13. And we're going to start in verse 44. Okay? Matthew 13, 44. It says, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away, sold everything he had, and bought it. So Jesus tells us the kingdom of heaven is the most valuable of all treasures. It's so valuable, it's worth giving up everything else that you have to gain it. That's what he was talking about in this parable. These people found something that was so valuable, they were willing to give up everything else they had in order to gain that treasure. Jesus calls us to find the kingdom of heaven like that. And what he's referring to when he talks about the kingdom of heaven is he's talking about a rearranging and reprioritizing of our lives. Giving up all the things that we used to have to do something new, to gain this one treasure. If you're going to spend your time hunting for something valuable in life, he says, this is the thing to be hunting for. If you're going to engage in a treasure hunt, this is the one to do. So this kingdom of heaven is basically a description of the world in which God is the ruler, and everyone and everything that is part of that kingdom acknowledges him and serves him. That kingdom depends upon a relationship between us and God. It's the relationship that we can enjoy by placing our faith in Christ Jesus as the Son of God for the payment and forgiveness of our sins. We can enter into that kingdom because of God's grace that he offers to us. And we continue to seek that and discover the fullness. You know, you keep uncovering more and more treasure as you commit to him every day and build and deepen that relationship with him. This is what Jesus was talking about. And seeking out that treasure. That relationship with the Lord is the most valuable of treasures worth spending your whole life to gain. And when you read Matthew's account of Jesus' birth, it's interesting to discover that there were people living in a far-off land who knew there was something important and valuable about this child whose birth we're about to celebrate. We sang about those men in that song we sang earlier, We Three Kings. So let's take a look at the account of these kings, or magi, as some translations call them, in Matthew chapter 2. Just flip back a few pages in Matthew's account of Jesus' life. The beginning of chapter 2, we're going to read all the way through verse 12, and find out about these men far away from Israel who engaged in this treasure hunt. Matthew writes, "After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, 'Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him.' When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. 'In Bethlehem, in Judea,' they replied, 'for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people, Israel.' So then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him.' After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over a place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. They opened up their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and incense and myrrh. They had been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, and they returned to their country by another route." We've probably all heard about these men before. You've heard the story many times about the wise men coming to see Jesus. And I think at first I want to just clear up a few things about these men that kind of get mixed up in our understanding. Our popular understanding. Our popular culture says that there are how many wise men? Three. Does the Bible tell us that? No, it actually does not. It doesn't say anything about the number of them. There could have been a whole lot more than three. We just don't know. But because there were three gifts given to Jesus, I think it became assumed that there maybe were three. But just so we know, we talk about these three kings, it's not necessarily just three of them. Popular culture also has them arriving at the manger along with all the shepherds right after Jesus' birth. Jesus is laying there with Mary in the manger and they all show up. That's not necessarily true either. As you continue reading, you discover that after the Magi had left without returning to Jesus, Herod gives the order to go and kill all the young boys in Israel. He says, kill everyone under 2 years old. It's possible Jesus was as old as 2 years old by the time the Magi reached him. We have no idea for sure, but the fact that he gave that order and he had asked earlier, when did the star appear? He kind of made some calculations there. Say, okay, this is the age range we're looking at. So it's possible that Jesus was a bit older. And they went to the home where Jesus was. Finally, I think it's worth mentioning for anyone who hasn't heard this before, there is plenty of astronomical evidence that the star that the Magi followed really did appear in the sky. And people have traced back the routes of the stars across the sky for hundreds and thousands of years. Some people think there may have been a comet that appeared. There was a comet that appeared around 5 BC. Some people maybe thought that was the star. Others, however, the ones that I tend to lean more toward, is that there were three stars or three planets appearing in the star that overlapped. They came together in a conjunction around the time of Jesus' birth, and they would appear as one bright new star in the sky. And I think that kind of fits to me with what we know about these magi. They were probably counselors to a king. They were people who studied the times and gave advice to the rulers. They probably would have been watching the stars, and they saw significance in these planets representing the birth of a king in the land of Judah. And they had heard the prophecies, and they put all these things together and say, that is this king's star. We need to go follow it and find him. But the one significant thing that we do know from the Bible about these magi is that they thought this treasure of this newborn king was something worth pursuing, worth sacrificing for. They left their homes. They set out an uncertain journey to go find this child. They had no way of knowing for sure that that star would lead them to the home where a child was born. But they trusted in what they'd heard and what they knew, and they said, let's go do it. It was worth trying. They knew about the prophecies, about the king being born in Bethlehem, so they had some idea where they're headed, but as I said, they had no idea what they would find there. The only way to find out was to go, to set out on a treasure hunt, leaving behind all the comfort and security that they had, investing valuable time and resources, all in the hope of finding this newborn king. They considered him to be the most precious and valuable gift to go find. And so I want to consider this visit of the Magi today and ask ourselves, what kind of treasures are we seeking in life? And how are we responding to what Jesus said about the kingdom of heaven being that valuable treasure and all the things that he came to do? Do we believe him and trust in him? Are we willing to take the chance that he's right, that this is worth giving up everything for? Are we willing to commit ourselves to finding this most valuable of treasures? So what kind of treasures are we seeking in life? It's a good question to always keep asking ourselves, I think. In Matthew 6, Jesus addresses the things that we treasure in life. Matthew 6, verses 19 through 21, if you're still following along. Jesus says, There we go. Jesus says, do not store up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart also will be. I think that's a really significant point to stop and think about. Where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. Where is our heart? The key issue that Jesus addressed here is where your heart is. What do you cherish most in life? To dwell in and enjoy the kingdom of God is to cherish the Lord above all other things. And so Jesus calls us to store up heavenly treasure rather than earthly ones that will never last. So how do you test where your heart is? Well, we have to ask ourselves what we're investing our lives into. Where do you spend the most time? Where do you spend most of the money that God provides you? Where do you most use your gifts and talents that he has built into you? Are you seeking to satisfy yourself and gain things for yourself? Are you looking to gain more prestige, more authority, more possessions? Are you looking to have just more time to rest and relax and have fun? Are you looking for something in life to help you feel better about yourself? These are all earthly kinds of treasures. These are the things that Jesus was talking about, the things that can be taken away from you. Some of these may be good things, but are we placing a higher priority on them than on seeking the Lord? Seeking heavenly treasure means setting our hearts on knowing and pursuing Jesus before all other things. It involves prioritizing time with him, taking advantage of opportunities to praise him, to know him more, and to be in his presence. It involves investing into his kingdom, accomplishing his purposes, which are to rescue others from a life spent on those earthly pursuits and to bring healing and damage that's caused by living in the sinful world and to encourage one another, build one another up in Christ, and to pour out God's love that he has so freely and graciously given to us. This is what it means to pursue heavenly treasure. Pursuing heavenly treasure involves making the best use we can of all the resources, all the time, and all the talents God has provided each of us to accomplish his purposes. So God challenges us and invites us to engage our lives in seeking and finding this most valuable of treasures as we embrace a life lived with him, through him, and in him. And just as the Magi embraced the search for a newborn king, God calls us to embrace life with that same king. It's important that we ask ourselves also what we're seeking from that king. So we've committed our lives, say, to seeking that king. We have placed Jesus first, but what are we seeking from him? What is it we hope to gain? Are we looking for his approval? Do we seek out the King of heaven and earth with our desire to hear him say that he approves of us, that he likes the things that we're doing and the way we're living? I think there's two things that we need to know and keep in mind if we're seeking approval from the King. First of all, God already loves you and has shown his favor for you. There's nothing more you need to do to gain God's love. All you need to do is accept and receive it. It's God's great love that we celebrate at Christmas. Jesus humbled himself and came into this world for our sake. That was a great act of love. He didn't have to do that. We didn't deserve it. He came to give up his life for us. Romans 5:8 says, "But God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." He loved us and died for us, a people that didn't deserve that love. So God has already demonstrated that he loves you amazingly, and you don't have to do more to gain that love. But this leads us to the second thing to know about seeking God's approval. We need to remember that God is holy and righteous. He is our creator, and he knows better than anyone and better than we ourselves what is good and right for us. And the fact is that we have all embraced sin in our lives in one way or another. God can't and won't approve of everything we do because of his great love. Because he loves us so much, he will continue to give grace as we struggle to break free from sin, and he will provide us with himself through the Holy Spirit to give us the power and ability to break free from that sin and overcome things. And as we overcome, we find an incredible new life as we keep seeking the life that he desires for us. That's part of the great treasure hunt of the kingdom of God. Not that we're seeking approval of the way we are from God, that we're seeking a new life. We're seeking to gain what God is offering us, letting go of the weight that holds us back rather than expecting God to approve of the weight that we're already carrying around. He calls us just to let those things go and discover something new. As we're seeking the treasure Jesus offers, we also have to ask ourselves if we're seeking his blessing on our priorities in life. Are we asking him to fix the world for us? To make things work in our favor? Right? Do we want God to rearrange things to accommodate the things that we want to have happen? And again, we need to remember that he is the king and we are his servants. The Magi didn't go to Jesus asking him to come back to their kingdom and help them do their job. He didn't come today say, "Come be our king. Forget about these Israelites. Come serve us." They simply came to honor him because he was the king. His presence among us is the greatest blessing of all. He is God with us, Emmanuel. And for that, we should seek him with gratitude and desire to honor him first and foremost, rather than asking him to make things work for us. Of course, we know also that the Magi came bearing gifts for Jesus. Matthew tells us that these Magi found the child they were seeking him and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And there's been lots of discussion about the meaning of these gifts. We assume there must be some significance to these gifts that he gave them. And we don't know for sure what those significance is, but there have been some interesting suggestions that have been made. Gold was a precious and still is a precious and valuable metal. And some have suggested that this gift represented Jesus' nobility. He was the king. He deserved gold to honor his nobility. Frankincense is an aromatic resin taken from the sap of certain trees. It is actually one of the ingredients in a sacred incense that God commanded the Israelites to make and set before the Ark of the Covenant and burn as an offering to him. So some believe that frankincense was given to Jesus to represent his righteous character as a priest, to someone to stand between us and God, to show us God's character and to bridge that divide for us. And finally, myrrh is another resin. It's used in as an antiseptic and other medical purposes. It's also used in embalming corpses. And so some suggest that it represents the fact that Jesus would sacrifice his life for us. As I said, these are just suggestions. We don't know for certain why they were given. But we can use them as really powerful symbols to help us remember the significance of who Jesus is and why he came. And today, I'd like to use them as symbols to remind us of the gifts that we can offer Jesus as we continue to seek him day by day. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it." When we talk about the heart, we're talking about the center of all of our desires. It's the most valuable and precious part of our being because, as that proverb says, everything that we do flows from our heart. And just as the Magi presented gold to Jesus, let us present a most precious part of ourselves to him, our hearts, our whole heart. Let's let our greatest desire be to seek him and know him. With our minds, we judge what is right and wrong. The choices we make can lead to living a righteous life before God. And as Romans 12:1 says, we can offer our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to the Lord, like a fragrant offering of frankincense. So let us present our minds and our physical strength to Jesus, our whole self, making choices that are pleasing to him and using our bodies in ways that honor the Lord and serve his will. And finally, when we confess our sins to God and receive the gift of his forgiveness, when we acknowledge what Jesus has done for us, we are giving up our lives for him. Galatians 2:20 says, "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God." And so in a way, when we give our lives to Christ, we are dying to an old life and resurrecting to a new life of our own. So let us be reminded to seek God's will in all things, to lay down our will and offer him the gift of laying it down in his favor. We want to allow his Spirit to fill us and guide us in every moment of every day. Let's sacrifice ourselves for his sake, trusting him to build us back up and to guide us. So in closing, I just want to say with joy, Christmas is almost here, right? About a week and a half away to the day we get to celebrate Christmas. And I pray that God is filling your hearts with anticipation as we get closer and closer to celebrating the coming of Christ. We can declare with joy that God is with us. And I pray that you will see and recognize that a life with Christ is the most valuable of all treasures. That you will decide, not just today, but every day, to go on that treasure hunt, seek him out, and offer him all that you have. Because what you gain is the kingdom of heaven, and there is no greater treasure than that. Let's give him thanks for the opportunity to engage in that hunt. Let's pray together and praise him with one more song. Lord God, we thank you for your goodness, your graciousness. We thank you for your willingness to give so much to us, Lord, your generosity. You've poured out your love into this world. You've poured it into each and every person here, Lord, as you have reached out to us, even in the darkest parts of our lives, and you have loved us. And we respond to that love, Lord, with joy and with thanks. We thank you for turning our lives around. And I pray that you would build within each and every one of us today a greater commitment to give our whole lives to seeking you. Help us to prioritize the things of our days so that we can engage in gaining that kingdom of heaven as we draw closer to you day by day. In Jesus' name, amen.